T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Talking Shanahan here on 95.7 The Game. The 39-year-old just signed his new 6-year deal with the 49ers. First coach to do so with the 49ers since Steve Mariucci in 1999. And don't forget, you could also download the radio.com app, search 95.7 The Game, and add it to your favorites. Don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. Use the Rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including Royce Clayton, who joined us yesterday. We could also tell your smart speaker, hey, Alexa, or hey, Google, play 95.7 The Game. Hey, real quick, before we get back out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Want to hear from 49er fans on whether or not this is too early for Shanahan to receive an extension. But real quick, I just want to take a minute to thank our advertisers who have stuck with us through this incredibly difficult time during this COVID-19 pandemic. Want to thank Comcast. Want to thank Fremont Bank. Want to thank Chilton Auto Body, Steiny.
Yeah, and I'll take it from there, Bonte. We also want to thank Shreve & Company, the O'Donnell Financial Group, and Golden State Lumber. Golden State Lumber.
And I would like to thank Geico. Thank you, Safeway, and thank you, Video Only, for your continued support. Means a lot.
It does mean a lot to us here at 95.7 The Game. Well said, fellas, as we're talking about Kyle Shanahan, who right now has a 23-25 record. Not sexy at all. 2-1 in the postseason, with that one loss being in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 54 to the Kansas City Chiefs. We know how that story played out in Super Bowl 54 in Miami. 6-10 in his first season, 4-12 in his second, 13-3 in year number 3. And it looks like, you know, and by the way, Shasky's in for Jock Pretty, in case you guys all wanted to know.
Oh,
it'll be
okay.
Shasky, Steiny, and Bonte. Okay. Let's see how the odds shake out. You got to think that Shasky's going to be yelling, Shasky! You know, it's going to be all over the place Friday afternoon. So buckle up, Whitey Gleason, as you get ready to host Jock Pretty this coming Friday. Whitey, of course, in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Is Shanahan signed a new year deal, a new 6-year deal, I should say, excuse me. Well-deserved, we all agree with that. But let's just see what happens to John Lynch in the future, because that's the next caveat here with the 49ers. What happens with John Lynch and his role with the 49ers, Whitey?
Yeah, be interesting to see, as has been speculated, if he gets bumped up into a VP or team president role with Adam Peters sliding into the GM's role, which essentially would be an acknowledgement of what Steiny has been ranting and raving and we need to be acknowledged, which is this is Shanahan's show. Shanahan is running the show. I know Matt Maiocco also suggested that the reason Shanahan's deal was done before Adam Lynch's is because Shanahan's salary was lagging further behind market value than John Lynch's.
Right.
And you made a great point, Bonte, pointing out that this apparently had been agreed to some time ago. We're just hearing about the agreement now.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Bonte, you asked, what is this? What'd you say? What does this mean for John Lynch?
Right.
Yeah, nothing. It means he'll continue to take his orders, his marching orders from Kyle Shanahan. Apparently, that's what it means. It means that Kyle Shanahan has as much control, essentially, as Bill Belichick in New England. He's basically like Pat Riley or Don Nelson, guys who coached and ran the franchise. He's like, you know what? He's John Gruden. How about that? Yeah, Mike Mayock's the GM. Nod, nod, wink, wink. But we know who's running that show. I think the perception is John Lynch has more the perception had been Gruden had more control than a guy like Shanahan, and I don't think he does. I think Shanahan's got as much control as anybody right now.
Let me ask you this, Steiny. When Shanahan and Lynch came aboard over 3 years ago, what did you think when they both signed six-year deals with the organization? Who did you think there was a true power – I'm not going to say power struggle. That's not the words I want to use. What did you think when they both signed six-year deals? Did you think that, okay, Lynch is going to run the show up top, he's going to draft all the players, and Shanahan is just going to coach the players on the football field?
Okay, that's a great question because, first of all, they kind of came as a package deal, whatever. But I do know there were a lot of questions early, and I remember hearing at one time, Shanahan has control of the 53, but Lynch has control of, you know, the practice squad and stuff like that. There have been a lot of questions, or at least there were in the beginning, about how does it work? How does it work? And all I'm saying now is after 3 years, and maybe people knew this after 3 days, well, we know how it works. We know how it works. It's Kyle Shanahan's team. And I'm not – like, I have no – listen, I'm sure what happened is Shanahan's like, I want all decision-making, but I don't want to have to do the nuts and bolts of the GM job when I'm trying to coach. Okay, that's fine. We'll have – here's what we'll do. We'll have John Lynch be like the producer. He'll give you his six-page rundown – and then you do what you want to do.
Yeah, I remember when they first made that announcement, my initial reaction was, John Lynch is going to be the GM? He's never done it. That's very short-sighted, to say the least, not realizing that in actuality, Shanahan had a lot more to do with it. You could see why, though, right? Let's say Shanahan, we don't know, but if he did want to be, hey, I want to be the coach, I want to be the GM. Well, wait a minute, if you're hiring him, look, you've never even been a coach before. You want to be the coach and the GM? No, you can't do that. We think that you can be a great player personnel guy and a great coach, but that's too much for a guy who's never even been a head coach before. So we're going to have to come to some other arrangement. And maybe now we've gotten to the point where we can acknowledge Shanahan's larger role, Steiny and Vontae.
Right, and you know what? To that point, and I'll say this. I will say this. Look, and I agree with both of you guys. I was like, whoa, John Lynch, really? What the hell's going on here?
That's what I thought.
You start, okay, he was in a war room in Denver. He started learning under Elway and Adam Peters. Okay, this may work. And the fact that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan was able to keep this from being leaked out to the media, I thought was a good sign for the 49ers organization coming off of Chip Kelly and Tom Sula and Harbaugh, where everything was leaked to the national media and the 49ers became a circus. It just became a clown show. But one thing I do worry about here, let's just say hypothetically this is a case that Shanahan's going to call all the shots, right? Final say on draft, final say on 53, hypotheticals here. I do have reservations about a coach doing that because I remember Mike Holmgren in Seattle. He had to step down from the GM role. Couldn't do both. There's a lot of coaches who can't do both. And if anything, because I do believe that it was Shanahan's call to bring in McKinnon. I do believe it was Shanahan's call to bring in Beathard. I do believe it was his call to bring in Dante Pettis. I have reservation. And, oh, by the way, Kirk Cousins. You know how I feel about Kirk Cousins, Steiny. I do have reservations about Shanahan do having the final say on personnel because the track record ain't all that sexy when it comes to Shanahan picking his offensive players. Now, Deebo turned out to be great. Kittle in the fifth round turned out to be great. But we think about Beathard. We think about, you know, his lack of trust, per se, for Jimmy Garoppolo. I do have reservations about Shanahan, the decision maker when it comes to the player personnel as opposed to the head coach.
Who picked Reuben Foster? I've always kind of thought that was a Lynch pick. Do we know that?
That felt like a Lynch pick.
See, that's a good question, Whitey, because now all the answers are Shanahan. Like, we know that. I'm sorry, right. We do.
And that's a
and
bad
you know
pick.
What? If John Lynch said, take him. Please. And Shanahan said no for 7 days. And on the eighth day, he said, all right, fine, I'll take him. You know what? It's Shanahan's decision. Here's what I think. I think Bonte's right, too. Whatever they've been doing for 3 years, all right, they should – I'm sure they're doing the same thing today, all right, no matter how you want to cut it. So either everybody – knows, which is probably the case, Shanahan does it all in there, or Or this is a sign of, you know what, let's start really loading Shanahan up because he's going to be the one. All I'm saying now is that there's – you remember Bonte and when me, you, and Goo were talking about who's going to be the first fall guy if they have one? And we all agreed. We all agreed it'd be Lynch. And all I'm saying now is, well, now it's official. I mean, now there's no doubt. If we were 99% sure that was the case – now we're 100% sure that's the case. That's all I'm really coming for.
Who is more essential to the future success of the 49ers in your opinion?
Shanahan.
No. Hold on. He's not one of the choices. John Lynch or Robert Saleh?
Ooh.
I would say Lynch. Yes. Yeah, that was a curve. That was like a slurve.
Light of blue. See, I would say Robert Saleh right now.
That's boy. Fair. Yeah, you know what? Gosh, that's a good question because Saleh, we thought he was good as gone, right? Going into the Super Bowl, we thought he'd get a job in Cleveland or something or get a job in wherever, and he didn't get that job. Now, boy, I got to say, it's got to be Lynch. I lean Lynch. Why? Okay. That's a hell of a question, though, because Robert Saleh, I do think, is important for this defense. His scheme is important for this defense, but I wonder if Shanahan believes Saleh can be replaced. Can he be replaced with this personnel? I don't know. I think another factor is, and not to take a deep dive into the personnel of the 49ers, but Joe Woods, who coached the DBs last year for the Niners, I think that loss of Joe Woods, him going back to the Midwest, that's an interesting factor for me.
Where'd he go in the Midwest?
It's an interesting factor for me. I think he went to Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken, as a new defensive coordinator. Joe Woods. He was with DC, a defense coordinator with the Denver Broncos. He was there when they won Super Bowl 50. He's in Cleveland, not Cincinnati. It was one of those Ohio teams. Cleveland. Now the new defense coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. So
I'd have to answer John Lynch and follow me here. Even though now I've spent 3 hours saying, well, John Lynch just reports to Kyle Shanahan. I do believe Lynch is valuable. Like there's something about John Lynch. The all-American guy from Stanford, who gets it, who's maybe a Hall of Famer, who played in the league. There is something to the fact that, you know what, Kyle Shanahan's busy coaching the team, and John Lynch will get his phone calls returned. There's no doubt that John Lynch does legwork of a GM. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And I do think John Lynch got them Jimmy Garoppolo. I truly believe that.
Yeah, it looks
and it
that
was
way.
Born. It was born out of a relationships he's formed in the league. So I do think that's important. I just want to, you know, put the exclamation point on it's Shanahan's team.
Not only that, just looking at Lynch, the way they worked the draft for it, Lynch with the relationships. How do you move down from 2 to 3 in 2017, and make a trade with the Chicago Bears? How do you move up in his draft to go get Brandon Ayuk? And you know, you think about the Niners having one first round pick, and then basically a third to fifth, and they trade Buckner to get 2 first round picks. I mean, the way Lynch maneuvered in the NFL draft, you got to think that is essential. So yeah, I lean Lynch as well. But here's from the 510: why can't they work together? And I don't want to make it seem like we're all three saying that Lynch and Shanahan can't work together. But I guess from the 510 here on the Chip Naughty Buddy text line, I guess he's taking it as if it's Shanahan and Lynch is just bringing a coffee.
One thing I'll say about Lynch.
Well, it's really good coffee. You know,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's like one of those $6 lattes from Pete's. You know, it's not any coffee. Go ahead.
The ones that make your forearms shake.
Yeah, we talk a lot about culture. I know I mentioned earlier, culture, winning culture, establishing culture. I think Lynch has played, even from where we are, outside looking in, I think you can see that he's contributed to that. Because you go back to his early days as the 49er GM. Do you remember he talked about, we want guys with good football character. And he said, we want guys who love football. And that's kind of almost, that's borderline Harry High School stuff, except I think he believed it. He was that kind of person. And I think for the most part, that's been a useful measuring stick for the 49ers going forward. Who are we going to bring in here? Well, does he have good football character? Does he love the game? And I think in that sense, he has contributed mightily to the success they've already had.
And they do work together. They work together great. Yeah. Whatever they're doing, they need to keep doing it. There's and this isn't, Like, I'm really not pitting one against the other. All I'm saying is sometimes in organizations, there are decisions need to be made, and they ain't made by the personal assistant, and they're not made by the custodian. They're made by who's at the top of the food chain. But, yes, they work together extremely well, clearly.
Yeah, it's definitely night and day from Trent Baalke, Jim Harbaugh, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those guys were at each other's throats. And I don't even know when that relationship soured. I guess it happened after the first year with Jim Harbaugh, but there seemed to be a disconnect there, and you don't get the sense that's the case with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Although it was interesting to see John Lynch in the Super Bowl waving timeout at Kyle Shanahan, waving timeout in the first half. That was like, come on, Kyle. So I do wonder how John feels about that when it comes to in-game coaching. But obviously, it's not a big deal as Kyle Shanahan yesterday signs a new 6-year deal with the 49ers. The first time a 49ers coach has had an extension. What's funny, Stardy?
Oh, it's funny that John Lynch, I don't know, John Lynch has a problem with Kyle Shanahan's play call. It's like, beat it. You have no control over that, John. Go ahead and tell him, and I'll tell you what. He'll tell you it's not the effing West Coast offense like you told that reporter. You know what I mean?
I wonder who that reporter was. I could take a lucky guess, Stardy, on who that reporter who asked that question. I think we all know the answer to that one. Here from the 925 on the Chilton Autobody text line. On the Peter King article, all the credit went to Parag Bharate. For the Bears trade in the draft and not Lynch. Now, there's another caveat. How much power does Parag Bharate have? This was a trade in the 2017 draft, their first draft together where the Niners went from 2 to number 3. Bears
Peter King was in the war room. Peter King was in the war room and wrote all about it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which is interesting. So it does seem like Parag Bharate has a little more than we all anticipated, especially when it comes to signing contracts. So
no doubt.
I guess, now what I'm thinking about it, Steiny, what is a GM's role? I guess a GM's role could be different within every organization, right? With the GM's role in the New England Patriots organization, maybe the GM just signs the contracts.
You're absolutely right.
Team is different. They have different duties for the GM within every organization. And I guess that's what I'm learning today about Lynch with the 49ers and when you look at GMs all across the league.
I completely agree, because during the whole show, I've kind of been looking up guys, titles, who makes the decision, who's the coach. And I want to make it clear, this isn't incredibly unique what's going on with the 49ers at all.
Right.
I just feel like maybe it hit me today. This is Shanahan's ball club in a way. Like, he's the man.
And I would love to know.
Yes, he might have been the man 2 years ago. I'm sorry, Whitey. But, man, okay, it just hit me over the head like a ton of bricks today.
I would love to know what you guys think, if we have time to wander down this path. When you look at 49er coaches, modern coaches, where exactly – we talked about Harbaugh comparing him to Shanahan. Mariucci, I'm not sure where to place him. And George Seifert, for different reasons. Seifert, of course, inherited Bill Walsh's team. Won Super Bowls, but was it his team? Mariucci, he didn't ever actually accomplish much in the postseason. So I don't know if we're going to wander down that road, but I'd love to know where you guys place those guys. Because every time I do that, I have a hard time figuring out where to put those two guys especially.
For Seifert and Mariucci?
Yes.
Boy, Mariucci got ran out of town. I just remember the fan base not being happy with him. They all wanted to be out of here. They wanted Mooch out of here because the offense wasn't a traditional West Coast offense. Mooch wanted to run the ball a little bit more, and everybody was used to, Steve Young airing it out, Joe Montana airing it out. Although those teams had a lot of balance to their offense, I thought they made a mistake. In hindsight, it was a mistake that they fired Mariucci to move on from Dennis Erickson. And it's really unfair because it was a transition between Seifert and Mooch, obviously. Eddie DeBartolo, we know what happened to him. There's a transition in the organization within the power structure. Dr. York comes in, Denise DeBartolo comes in. So there's a transition in the front office. Terry Donahue and Mooch really didn't get along. It was just
he lost the power structure.
It was a weird time. And you just look at the personnel, like, all right, he inherits Jeff Garcia. Well, he kind of turned that team into some winners, and I get it. They didn't make a deep run into the playoffs, but boy, they had some memorable playoff moments. The New York Giants game in a wild card game, the Packers game in a wild card game. But that is true. It's like, gosh, where does Mooch rank amongst 49ers head coaches? I bet you a lot of people don't have him on a Mount Rushmore, Steiny.
All right. The reason this came up was because Kyle, our producer, not Kyle Shanahan, Kyle, the actual brilliant one, wanted to know, oh, is Shanahan on the Mount Rushmore of 49er coaches? No, not even close. Like, do you realize you have to stack up the resumes that are current? And guys have better resumes in the past. Like, Buck Shaw has a better resume as a 49er coach than Shanahan. So does Dick Nolan. Dick Nolan went to the playoffs five times in 8 years. Shanahan has gone once in three. It's not hard, people. Mariucci is ahead of him on Mount Rushmore. Harbaugh is ahead of him on Mount Rushmore. Now, you know what? That could change in 1 year. It really could. He wins a Super Bowl. But come on, Whitey.
I asked you about Mariucci and Seifert. Seifert, of course,
they're both
inherited a great team. And so how good of a coach was he really? Of course, when he left
both
the
49ers,
came back with
Shanahan
Carolina.
At this point. How about this one? Buck Shaw. All right? Buck Shaw was 71-39.
Never got to a Super Bowl. Never even got to an NFC championship game. Never, ever, ever.
You guys ignore my question. Is this to say Buck Shaw was at stadium?
You know what? It doesn't matter.
Is this to say Buck Shaw who has the stadium named after him in Santa Clara? Is it that same guy?
Oh yeah,
it has
sure.
to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
It has to be.
Sure.
Yeah. I. You know, the Buck Shaw. That's a great. But no, Dick Nolan's up there. Seifert's up there. Mooch is up. Yeah. Shanahan's got some work to do. Got some work to
Kyle's
do.
Kyle's brilliant.
His fault. He's just. It's because he's young. He's too young.
He's a kid. I know.
We can't. Do you want to crown him already, Whitey? Is that what you want to do? You want to crown him?
I asked the question about Mariucci and Seifert. I didn't say anything.
If you want to crown him, then crown him.
No, but I wanted, but I wanted to make a point. So I don't really care what
hey,
you asked.
Hey, Whitey,
Mariucci,
you really are taking on the role of guru.
Yeah,
in Steiny's mind, you probably are guru. He probably sees you and he say, man, I'm getting after this guy.
Whitey, do not bring up a guy's postseason record and
losing record. What's up?
It's your boy Guru.
Mariucci, losing record in the postseason. Boom.
You do realize it's harder to win in the postseason than in the regular season, right?
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan winning record, Jim Harbaugh winning record in the postseason, C. Mariucci losing record in the postseason, and one of the wins that he got, actually the NFL after the fact said, you know what, they should have lost that game because we blew a big call.
Oh,
they did.
Man.
That comeback.
Well,
hey,
you know what, Whitey?
Having
juice
as a coach is important because it gets you big calls.
It does. That is very key. And also, don't forget about Garrett Hurst ripping up that knee in the Georgia Dome. Niners are on their way, in my opinion.
Gotcha.
That season. They got the monkey off their back against the Packers. Here's what's coming up on 95.70 Game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. More of your phone calls. We'll continue to talk about
back to the Niners.
And it is the 5-year anniversary of the Warriors' first title since 1975. Ooh. We'll get into that as well. Whitey Gleason in for Derrick Guru Johnson, Steiny Abonte hanging out right here on 95.70 Game. And it's all sponsored by Chilton Auto Body.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Don't forget to download the radio.com app, search 95.7 The Game, and add it to your favorites. Don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. And use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including NFL Network reporter MJ Acosta. She joined the boys today at 10:30 a.m. Whitey, Steiny, and I on BSNG. You could also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. The big news is Kyle Shanahan signing a new 6-year deal. But hashtag random, Steiny and Whitey. Long gone summer, the 30 for 30 that ESPN aired on Sunday, surrounding Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa's home run chase. It didn't even get 800,000 viewers for the premiere Sunday night. More viewers tuned into Unmatched, a documentary on Martina Navratilova and Chris Everett.
That was on? I missed that?
That was on 2010. We spent 3 hours on it on Monday, and nobody even watched this damn thing in America. Nobody even cared about baseball.
It's out of here.
I'll tell you what. Had I known that Martina Navratilova, everything was on, I wouldn't have watched it. They would have had 700,999. You know what, though? I did finish it. I finished it after the show yesterday, and I got to tell you, it was pretty amazing how so little was spent on what we all know. It was. They didn't ignore it entirely. But, man, they downplayed it so much that you'd think it was just a peripheral issue.
I have never used steroids, period.
The saddest part of that to me was at the end. I remember when that happened, and I didn't know about steroids, but I remember seeing that when it was going on and thinking, this isn't right. You know, this doesn't happen. Only one guy ever has hit more than 60. He hit 61, and now you got two guys, so I don't know what's going on, but this is weird. But the saddest thing was when McGuire hit. They showed he had 65 or something. And Jack Buck says, I didn't think I'd ever see anything like this. And the subtext was kind of, what is going on?
I mean, no, you talk about the four-year stretches for those guys. I mean, from 96 through 99, McGuire hit 52, 58, 70, and 65. Nobody even talks about the fact he did 65 home runs the next season after hitting 70.
Yeah.
Sosa goes 66, 63, 50, and 64. It's like, what? It was an absolute joke. And you're right, Steiny. The fact that they just kind of glossed over the steroids, saved it for the last segment, and when they opened that segment, there's Barry Bonds. Basically, like, not even saying it, but basically painting him as the king of the steroid era. And it was just like, oh, that's just wrong. That's just
so
wrong.
Sad. Baseball.
It made me angry, actually, Steiny. It made me angry, Whitey, that the last 15 minutes went down like that on that 30 for 30.
So sad to me is MLB, for whatever reason, deciding to look the other way, deciding to, you know, by doing nothing, condone all that. They made their deal with the devil, which was, hey, we need some excitement. We got this home run race. This is great. But they had that because of the steroids. They allowed the steroids. The record got artificially elevated. So Bonds breaks it three years later. And now we're never going to have that again. You are never going to have anybody legitimately chasing the home run record. So baseball basically said, all right, we're spinning it. We're playing that card, and it is gone forever. Because there's no one who's ever going to legitimately, he's going to hit 80 home runs this year. We're all going to go, yeah, come
right.
on. So it's too bad
right.
in a way. It's too bad. We'll never have that thrill again.
You're absolutely right. And you know what else I think about when I think about the thrill we'll never have again? I know Giants fans hate this, but the year the Giants won 103 games and didn't make it to the playoffs because the Braves won 104. That I mean, in truth, that was the last playoff. That was the last pennant race in history.
Yep.
I mean, it
totally
just was. And then, you know, that's just the way that one went. But I agree with you, Whitey. Let me ask you, Bonte, why did that make you mad? Because you think Bonds is being unfairly portrayed?
Well, not only that, but they have Bud Selig there on Capitol Hill, and he's like, you know, we didn't see this stuff happening, and we're all at fault here. And it was just like, you guys showed us this documentary for the first hour and a half. Like, these guys were just scholar athletes. Like, they were just perfect. They didn't do anything. You touched on Androstein, but you didn't really dive into it. And then you wait till the last 15 minutes and talk about the chemistry was then ruined in baseball. What? Like, it almost like they just lied to us blatantly. And then the image of just Bud Selig. I just did not want to see Bud Selig on my TV screen at this point because I link him with Rob Manfred. We actually asked him on yesterday. Rob Manfred, of course, helping out the owners in 94. It kind of made me angry seeing all those faces that blatantly lied to us, Steiny. And it was just like, you guys, you go through an hour and a half of this documentary showing us all the good in 98. You might as well have just closed the show with all the good in 98, 99 or whatnot and how the home run chase brought fans back to the ballpark. I didn't need the steroid conversation in the last 15 minutes if you're just going to gloss over it. I thought that was the story of 98, the steroid impact on the home run chase.
I'm trying to do some math here, and I think I came up with a right answer. All right, so when Bonds hit 73, and I'll admit it, I'm leaving McGuire out. So Bonds hit 73. It's 20% more than Maris hit. Okay? Maris hit 61. That's 20%. It would essentially be like when Roger Bannister broke the mile record that somebody down the line would run the mile in 3:12. That's 20%, in other words, cut down. And it's like, if you think about that, that's just ludicrous. I mean, yeah. 20%, that's a lot.
Here's the thing about Bonds, Bonte. I'm not a big Bonds guy, but I understand when it happened, when he was chasing down Hank Aaron.
Right.
You know, I remembered Hank Aaron playing, and it was very sad to me. But now looking back on it, Barry Bonds, I think his Mitchell report made him a fall guy, he and Clemens.
Right.
If you look in the Mitchell report, it says there was widespread steroid use in MLB in the 70s. No one ever talks about that, but check the Mitchell report, and you cannot convince me. Now with Bonds, I'm like, yeah, he gets unfairly singled out. You right. can't tell me there are guys that have been in the Hall of Fame for a long time. I can't name names, but you can figure out who didn't use steroids. I think steroid use went back much further, and it's unfair to me
no
that
doubt.
There are guys who are considered heroes who I would suspect they may have used steroids, and then Bonds like, oh, yeah, you're dirty. He used steroids. That's not right.
And there's no doubt Whitey Bonds used steroids. There's no doubt. The guy looked like a linebacker. He gained like 35 pounds of muscle one offseason. It's like, what's going on here? This guy looks like a cartoon character in a batter's box. There's no doubt. But like after A-Rod and David Ortiz and McGuire and Sosa and Rafael Palmeiro and can't say it's like so Bonds is going to take the fall because he was a jerk to the media. That's just that doesn't sit well with me. It's like the nice guys who were like the Lance Armstrongs in the world when it comes to cycling. Like I can't watch that 30 for 30 right now, fellas, because everything that comes out of Lance Armstrong's mouth, I think it's a lie. I think it's an absolute fabrication. Even when he was talking about him in elementary school being in the cafeteria or something like that, I was like, I don't even want to hear it from Lance. I don't even believe it anymore. You know, so that was unfortunate. But man, didn't even get 1 million viewers on Sunday night. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
That's a
Let's
problem.
Go back out to the phone lines.
That is a problem.
Real quickly here. Yeah, a very big problem here when it comes to baseball. We'll get more into that tomorrow. We've got a couple blasts from the past here. Let's start with Shaka, since we're talking about baseball. We get Shaka in Berkeley, and then we're going to go to Dr. Hustle. Shaka, what's happening, man? Hope you're safe there during this pandemic. How you doing?
All right, man. I'm making it through, man. Just dropped my son back off at college, man. I'm making it through. Y'all sounding real good, man. I just want to touch bases with y'all three, you know, about this topic. Because I was watching in touch with Cody. And Joe Morgan, who I was there at times, was talking about Ivan Rodriguez, excuse me about his name, tear up his name, was the best catcher he ever saw, better than Johnny Bench. You know, and I was like, wow. You know, he had hit like 15 home runs 1 year. And the next year, he hit 50. And Joe Morgan is the one talking about he doesn't want Bonds in the bench. Well, so Ivan Rodriguez can be on steroids with Bonds, Bonds can't. So I don't, it's like a conspiracy with Major League Baseball to see. Bud seen it come out, handing out the All-Star home run championship to Sosa and kiss the man. And some he was great for everything about baseball. Then when all this goes down, they blame Bonds for it. Sosa's way bigger than Mark McGuire's way bigger than Bonds. So if you really look down into this, it's like a conspiracy from the jump from Bud seen it from up top, man. You just got to be smart enough to see it, man. You know, just seeing that 30 for 30, if we wouldn't have been going through the pandemic, we probably wouldn't have really watched it anyway. You didn't get that many watches. But just to see Joe Morgan put praise on Rodriguez, who's we know used steroids, and say he was better than Johnny Bench, then for him to turn on Bonds, that was just tremendous footage, man. Just let us know, man, it's a real problem in baseball, man, you know.
No doubt. And hopefully you safe travels as you drop your kid off to college. That's a big deal. Thanks for the call, Shaka. Can't disagree there. Let's go to Dr. Hustle real quick in San Jose. Dr. Hustle, what's going on? You're on BSNG here on 95.7 The Game.
What's going on, fellas? Nice to call back. And listen, I'm with you, Vontae. That documentary, I called in for Shannon, but real quick, it was typical baseball. Loving it, all the home runs, showing it, and then we're going to give you the crap at the end live to try to cover ourselves up. But listen, Shanahan deal, I'm not with it. He had 3 years left, 1 year of success, no problem. He's doing a great job. You got 3 years. Let this year play out. If he repeats himself, don't wait. Then he's got 2 years. Wash up that two-year deal. Give him a six-year deal. If they struggle this year, then, hey, you got to show me something. I'm glad we haven't heard from Jed York, but I thought we were the organization that don't put up participation banners. We don't put up NFC championship banners. We only put up Super Bowl banners. So he didn't have no more success than Harbaugh yet, and yet we let Harbaugh's contract run all the way to the end. So you know what? Don't give nobody that in there. So that's Dr. Hoffman. Nice to be back, and those are the doctor's notes.
Not a doctor.
It's good to have you back, Dr. Hussel. Good to have you back. Oh, yeah, man, definitely. I'm shocked he would say that. Dr. Hussel, I'm shocked, Steiny.
I'm not shocked by it. Yeah, the doctor's been very busy during the pandemic, obviously. We're thanking for...
not a doctor. You know,
in terms of the doctors, he's right up there with Fauci and Dr. Zhivago. Yeah, he's a big boy. Now, I think there's a valid criticism to say, how about one more year before we do that? But
they
were decisive. You know, Jed seems to know what he wants, and he wants Shanahan
also. You don't
to be
want
part
him,
of this thing.
I'm sorry, Steiny. You don't want him looking around, right? You don't want to give him
true.
An opportunity to say, hey, well, what if this doesn't work out?
True.
You want him, yeah, because he would be in demand. He would have all the leverage there.
No doubt he can't go fishing. Good point, Whitey. You were talking about before the break, though, the Mount Rushmore 49er head coaches. Kyle Batson brought it up yesterday. Producer Kyle, of course. He's brilliant. Hey, look, it all starts with Bill
Kyle's
Walsh,
brilliant.
Right? Bill Walsh is number one on the list. There's no doubt about it. Number two, I think that's where the debate starts. But I don't – Shanahan's got it. In order for Shanahan to crack the Mount Rushmore 49er head coaches, you got to think he's got to win the Super Bowl next season. I mean, an NFC championship appearance, in my opinion, is not good enough. He doesn't jump over Jim Harbaugh with the championship appearance. He doesn't, you know, catapult Steve Mariucci, in my opinion, or George Seifert, who won two Super Bowls. I know one of them was basically Bill Walsh's team, but – he's got some work to do before we just all of a sudden put him on the Mount Rushmore 49er head coaches. I don't even know why we're discussing it, Whitey.
I didn't bring it up.
Because Kyle brought it up.
Yeah. But whoever the next coach is, the next 49er coach to win a Super Bowl, whether that's Shanahan, whomever it is, that coach belongs on there, right? Because you've only got
no doubt about it
that have won Super Bowls.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And you know
so
what?
Whoever that is.
You know what? And here's, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. Tell you what I'm going to do for you guys, just for you guys. I'm gonna show you how open-minded I am. All right, the Mount Rushmore of 49er coaches, clearly it's Walsh and Seifert. All right, I'll tell you what. Instead of looking at the overall playoff records of, like, Dick Nolan, playoff appearances, because Dick Nolan puts Kyle to shame, and even Buck Shaw puts him to shame. But I'll tell you what, since both he and Harbaugh have in common – that they at least got to one Super Bowl and lost, and unless I'm mistaken, those other guys haven't. Okay, I'll put Harbaugh and Shanahan up there because those are the four coaches that took the 49ers the furthest, even though it was just one season for
Kyle. Simon, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Yep.
There you go.
That's the right of it.
That's how I'll do
it.
You got to Google it.
And that's how we'll cap. I think that's a perfect way to put a bow on the Kyle Shanahan conversation today. Good stuff, fellas. Real quick, I want to get to the Warriors. The Warriors, and we always do this date in history, but a lot of things are coming up with the Golden State Warriors this date in history. They win their first championship since 1975. In 2015, Warriors beat the Cavaliers in six games. We know in game four, Kerr makes the adjustment to put Andre Iguodala in the starting lineup. It changes the series. Iguodala wins NBA Finals MVP. Warriors win the championship. The next year, they go 73-9, and of course, losing game seven to the Cavaliers. But 5 years ago today, the Warriors come out of nowhere to win the championship for the first time since 1975.
Ridiculous.
And I got to announce, just started by saying, before I kick it to you, Steiny, I was just surprised that the Warriors won a championship in 2015. And Steve Kerr's first season as head coach of the Golden State Warriors, could not believe that that happened. Kind of just in shock when they did pop the champagne in Cleveland, Ohio.
No doubt it was unexpected. I think we all thought it was the year before the year, if there was going to be a year. But I think the Warriors were obviously better than people thought and more ready than people thought. They got a couple breaks along the way. Happens to everybody on the way to a title. But no, I didn't think – listen, I don't hold it against the Warriors at all, and I don't penalize them. It really is too bad Cleveland wasn't healthy in that first series. That's all. It would have done both teams good because either the Warriors would have won, and then it would be, you know, then we'd be saying this was domination.
Right.
Or the Cleveland Cavaliers say, well, we could have won that for, well, like, I just wish there'd be just a little finality on that particular year.
Two things I remember about that. One, you've got the fact that, as you guys well know, the Warriors were behind in the series. They trailed.
Yep.
2-1, and then that's when Steve Kerr had to go back to the previous year and look at the way the Spurs had beaten the Heat and get back to, look, guys, you got to make a decision with the ball within 3 seconds. Whatever you got to do, we got to move the ball. And I remember David Lee got more minutes, and, of course, they turned it around. But do you guys know LeBron James, of course, was a leading scorer in 5 of those games? You know who the game-high scorer was? The only guy other than LeBron to be a game-high scorer in that series with 28 points in Game 4?
Yeah, I do.
I'm going to let me guess, Heidi, because I don't remember.
Okay, but then you're going to say J.R. Smith. Like you're doing Jeopardy. You know what I'm saying? It's not J.R. Smith.
Who was it?
It's not J.R. Smith.
It was Timofey Mozgov with 28
in Game 4,
Warriors 103, Cavs 82.
He's a competitor.
I forgot all about
that. Makes sense.
Wow.
That makes sense. Mozgov with a big night during a 20-point loss. You know, I do remember that game. It was like Mozgov, like, was kind of hurting the Warriors. Yeah, as the Warriors were, like, up 7.
Right,
up
right.
9. Jeez, Mozgov's got 18. It doesn't matter. I remember that game, though.
Mozgov got paid that summer, too, right? Did he get paid by the Lakers?
I think you're right.
Come in with like $64 million or something like that. He got paid. He got paid. Damn, I forgot all about today.
I'm not going to be here.
And you know what, Whitey? To your point, Warriors down 2-1 in those finals. They were also down 2-1 against Memphis in the conference finals. And there was a lot of panic there when Draymond and Steph went out for a night and they played game 4, and that's when they got tough and they got rough with the Memphis Grizzlies, and they left Tony Allen wide open in the corner. And Tony Allen basically couldn't hit a jump shot. Bogut stayed in the key. Warriors go on the roll in that series and win in 6 games and, of course, beat the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. But, damn, it feel after everything that's gone on with the Golden State Warriors over the last 5 years, the KD era, McCall leaving and Jordan Bell and everything that's happened in the last 5 years, last year's finals, it feels like that finals is so long ago. Like
It really does.
It feels like it's 10 years ago when you think about it, when you look at the footage, the baby face Steph Curry, Klay Thompson without any really facial, he doesn't really have any facial hair. Feels like it was so long ago. It's just 5 years ago, man.
I would suggest that's partly, Steiny, because the Warriors changed the way we looked at basketball. Remember, a lot of smart people before that finals ended said, you're a jump shooting team, they can't win. And now we know how important the perimeter game is and how efficient three-point shooting is. But that's why it seems like so long ago, because that was kind of the dawn of this era in a way.
Bonte, when you bring up the Warriors being down 2-1 in that series to Memphis, and I wish I had the other series or two that was going on with the team that was considered to be the Warriors, but that was after the Grizzlies went up 2-1 in that series, was when Phil Jackson tweeted out something about the jump shooting small ball teams, and he said, how's that going?
Yeah.
That's right. That's
how's
right.
That going?
That's
yeah.
Yep. That is
I don't
right.
know why
That's
I never
good,
forget
good
that
memory.
For some reason.
And then we know what the Warriors did. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, Whitey, thanks so much for filling in,
Thank you.
This was a blast. Hopefully we get to do it again soon. Look forward to Jeopardy on Friday.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big one. This one's going to be a big one. Steiny, we got the Butcher Boy Joe Shasky here. He tries to name off Niners from the 50s. This is going to be a big one here. Kyle Mattson, Joe Spadoni, good stuff. Steiny, I'll see you tomorrow for our third mystery guest of the week. I won't even reveal it. We'll just wait until tomorrow. Going to be a surprise for everybody out there.
Who are you?
Have a good day. DRK coming up next. David Rydelkowski didn't tuck you up until 6 p.m. And then they'll make way for the Butcher Shop with Ryan Covey and Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy. That's it for us. Have a good afternoon. See you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.